So I'm losing my mind, and one of the bosses was very sweet and like called me on the phone and was like, "Hey, buddy, you're doing great. Everything's gonna be okay." And I remember being like, telling him that I was kind of having like a faith crisis on my way to record my Christian podcast. And he's like, "Oh, bro, I've been a believer for a lot longer than you, and I've had faith crises over far less than what you're going through." And I go, "Do people talk about that?" He's like, "Not really." So that's why I felt, let me talk about this, because I didn't think God would like me, so I didn't like people who like God. People who would use God to tell me what a bad person I was, and I was like, I don't need God for that. I tell myself I'm a bad person all the time. Sometimes we feel like we don't belong. Sometimes we feel like no matter how hard we try, we will never be good enough. But we still try. Together, broken and battered. So misfits, outcasts, chronic screw-ups, clinically depressed, weirdos, and Christians who don't fit inside the box. The show is for everyone trying to get better. The show is for me. So get comfortable and meet us in the back row. Welcome to The Back Row with Jamie Kilstein. My name is Jamie Kilstein. I'm a comedian. I'm a podcaster. I'm a writer. I have depression. I have anxiety. I had a panic attack on the way here. I think I broke up with my girlfriend. We might be getting back together. I don't know. This is the problem with doing a fucking show on delay. Producer Sean, during the prayer, added the line before the show, "God feels what we feel. I am sorry, God, because that means you feel like shit right now." Hey everybody, this is the podcast. It's a solo episode of the podcast, which works out because this show is not, man, I did some YouTubing on Christian influencers, and it seems like those guys like never do anything wrong. They just are more Christ-like than you, and anytime there's a problem in their life, they just turn to God and God fixes it all. And if you have a problem in your life, it's your fault, and it's because you aren't don't have a YouTube channel or something like that. And I'm not gonna search YouTube for Christian advice anymore. I would recommend listening to shows like Tim Ross, people who will. Here's how you tell a fucking charlatan. If they never talk about their screw ups, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. It's a scam. It's a pyramid scheme. Don't you dare smash that like button. That's why I like Tim so much. And the reason I say that is because I'm projecting onto other people, because I am fully aware that this show is about to be a train wreck, in the sense that, and what I hope that is, that it makes you guys feel less alone, because I'm going through a lot. I've had some kind of like faith crises, and I don't like hear that get talked about a lot on Christian podcasts or whatever. And so I'm gonna talk about it. I wasn't gonna talk about it, but I have a really cool team that's like, you should talk about it. one of the higher ups called me today because I was losing my fucking mind on a text thread. We were supposed to have guests today and we were supposed to talk about masculinity. I always thought a masculine trait was showing up to your commitments. Just kidding. They had flight trouble. That was just me being a jerk. And so I was like on the plane, like breakup, dog sick. And I'm like, well, time to go to Dallas, a place I hate, but at least I'm doing a good interview. And then I got a text that was like, they canceled. And I'm like, well, why the fuck am I about to go to the Airport Courtyard Marriott then? So I'm losing my mind. And one of the bosses was very sweet and like called me on the phone and was like, "Hey, buddy, you're doing great. Everything's gonna be okay." And I remember being like, telling him that I was kind of having like a faith crisis on my way to record my Christian podcast. And he's like, oh, bro, I've been a believer for a lot longer than you. And I've had faith crises over far less than what you're going through. And I go, do people talk about that? He's like, not really. So that's why I felt we were going to look for other guests. And I was like, just let me talk about this, because I think especially when you're a new Christian, you kind of go, well, Jesus has got me now. And so everything's going to be great. And then when things don't get great, you go, fuck that guy. and you're confused and you don't get it. And I talked about this, I think, on when I was on The Basement, where it almost makes you feel worse because you go, well, I'm doing everything right. This is the only thing I didn't try was Jesus. And I'm doing everything quote unquote right. I believe in Jesus. I'm trying to be more Christ-like and loving and forgiving and all that stuff. And then a bunch of bad stuff happens and you go, oh, I guess I'm just bad. Like, I guess I'm just so broken that not even the creator of the universe can fix me. You know what I mean? And my pastors, I'm sure this is a big Christian thing, but my pastors always like to remind us that, like, you're not surprising God ever by like your mistakes or how bad your life is. Like, he's never just like, oh man, that, like, I got so mad at myself. I felt like today, I felt like everything that I've worked towards since getting baptized was just gone. And not because of the breakup or because of the dog being sick, or because even though we broke up the day we both had tickets to see Barbie, I was like, well, I'm gonna go by myself. So I was a 41-year-old fucking man seeing Barbie by himself during a breakup. By the way, I hate that the show is on delay because everyone's just like, Barbie came out like 18 months ago. Now he wants to talk about, I want to talk about the social ramifications of Barbie, and I can't because everyone's gonna be like, "This what's he gonna talk about next? Fucking, do you wanna talk about The Godfather?" Anyway, Barbie was great. Everybody, it would mean towards men. Take a fucking joke. It was very funny. Okay, so breakup. Yeah, the main reason I started feeling like it was all a lie was just because I was a dickhead today. And you know, my workout buddy, my friend, his name is Trevor Merritt. And, if you are a fighter in the Austin area, you should work with him, and he's great. And we work out every day. And he was so sweet to me, 'cause he was like, man, I'm really proud of you, as I was just like mentally crumbling. And I was like, why? And he was like, you've just been so much like kinder and sweeter and gentler, in the last year, which is the time I became Christian. And so that made me feel so good. That made me feel like even when my life is bad, I can still look to Jesus and be Christ-like and all this stuff. And then today I'm like snapping at fucking you guys on the text thread. Ian, Planet Smart, just silent. I don't even have your number saved. So it's just like some fucking area code. I don't know. Just quiet. I'll save it. I'm sorry. And then like there's a, for years, talking about mental health on the podcast, my whole shtick, my truthful shtick, has just been like, even before Jesus, it was like, try to be positive, look for love. Like, I'll bash myself and be self-deprecating, but you know, I was always like, don't complain about babies on a plane. Don't, like, that stuff is also gross to me, especially on like podcasts or when like celebrities will like at corporations, like at United, you really fucked up my flight. And it's just like, you think the social media guy for United fucked up your flight? It's like some 19-year-old nerd. And you're acting like he's like the fucking, like the CEO of United is manning the Twitter at replies because some fucking dork who bought a blue check mark is like slightly delayed to get to St. Louis to fucking see his mistress. Fuck you, buddy. And so Christian podcast. Anyway, so there's a crying baby in front of me. And I was just like, well, fuck me. Like I was having a panic attack. I was texting you guys, not Ian. Ian, again, every time you didn't say anything, I was just like, props. I was like so proud of it. Just imagine you like wide-eyed looking at it. But I was just kind of like, I guess I'm an asshole again. Like, I guess from November to wherever we're at, I got baptized in November. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm a jerk. And also like, I'm so mean to myself. I helped like a bunch of people with their bags. I was probably the only one who like talked to I was very nice on the plane. But inside I was just like, fuck everybody. And then like when it comes to God, I remember this was a low moment. I remember my girlfriend and I are fighting and she just goes, well, if she was here, she would say it. It was not my fault. I take so much responsibility on this show. It was not my fault. And she just goes, you know, I'm reading a bunch of books and podcasts. And she's like, this is when we need to pray together. And I was like, who? To your God who's making you an asshole? Like, I don't need to get into that conversation. Like, don't drag me into this. And so then I was starting just to be like super spiteful. And I found myself, all right, let's just be super honest, everybody. So then I go, I know what'll fix this. And I want everybody just to guess what it is. Is it prayer? Could it be apologizing to God? I did do that a bunch. Could it be helping the homeless? I was just like, I'm going to take a copious amount of psilocybin mushrooms. And that is how I will get closer to God. Because that's how I found God. I know Christians aren't supposed to talk about that, but like it was. And I haven't done it since because I was like, mission accomplished. I don't need Jesus. And you know, if you guys aren't Christians or you're more like the spiritual new agey kind of world, even Ram Dass said that his guru in India said, you know, psychedelics may get you in the room with God, but you can't stay there. Which I think is a great line. So I started like researching to see if there were any Christians talking positively about psychedelics. And you fucking narcs. Every video was just like, this Christian did 0.5 grams of mushrooms and Satan took him into hell. Like it was all like 1950s reefer madness. Like it was so outdated that I wouldn't be surprised if black people on crew didn't get paid. It was the whole thing might as well have been segregated. It was so like, and I couldn't find one positive thing. And now I might be wrong. This is something else I don't hear a lot of people saying. I might be wrong. This could have easily been me projecting and looking for an excuse to derail. And I do that a lot, you know? Or I used to do that a lot. But I also think it's like, are people in the Christian space, are we not allowed to talk about other things that help us? And I'm not saying it's psychedelic drugs, because if you, to be very clear, I don't drink, I don't smoke weed. I've done all those things. I've done them casually and fine. Didn't get much out of it. And I've done them to mask pain, not good. And the thing I liked about psychedelics, well, a couple things. So there's a ton of research being done right now about how psychedelics, especially microdosing, where you don't even feel high. There are all sorts of clinical trials and people are doing medicinal trips, and it is being proven unequivocally to help with PTSD, addiction, depression, all sorts of stuff. And you know, what I love about it is, in theory, you can't get addicted to psychedelic drugs, because the idea of tripping the next day after tripping is insane. And microdosing, you feel less than antidepressants, and it's more natural. But I will say, a lot of the new age scene, they're going crazy with psychedelics, and they are starting to treat it more recreationally. And I don't support that at all. It was kind of like how I felt about weed. I was a huge proponent of weed legalization and medical marijuana forever when it was super unpopular. And now it became legal. And I feel like an old man, where I'm like, hey, can we, all those things I said back in the day, I still believe, but can we admit that, like, a lot of you guys are becoming fucking losers, you know? And like, that's all you do, and you have to smoke when you wake up, and like, that's probably not healthy. And I'm not blaming weed. But with psychedelics, I was thinking about it, where I was like, and I swear to you, I could not find one Christian saying positive things about it. And I think, and I mean, I would love your guys' opinion on it. This is something, because I'm emotional. I'm currently emotional. So I'm not going to claim it to, and I didn't do it. I decided not to do it. But, you know, I feel like when you find Jesus, the tagline is Jesus is enough, right? And I think that's true. And my thought process was, I want to clear out the other voices in my head so I can hear Jesus, because I can't. And I want to clear out all the self-hate, and I want the voices to be clearer. It wasn't that I need something besides Jesus, if that makes sense. And so I asked one of my buddies, what he thought. He's a Christian, and I know he does mushrooms. And again, he's not an influencer. He's a fucking jujitsu teacher. But he's a regular person like us. And he was just like, the goal should always be Jesus, and the goal should always be get closer to Jesus. And if you're using mushrooms as duct tape or an escape, then absolutely not. But if you're using it like you could use, like, a spiritual discipline, if you're using it like you would use meditation, or like you would use, you know, these other things, you know, and that brings you closer, is that bad? And that just kind of made me think, are we not allowed to use secular tools, right? Like I've even changed my meditation practice so that my mantra is about Jesus. Is that stupid? I don't know. Like, the way I meditate, I've learned meditation from people who meditate in India, and I've learned meditation from Zen monks, which is from Japan. And so, like, but I was like, that's not Jesus. And so, like, I switched, and I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's honoring Jesus, or I don't know if that's dumb. And I just want to hear your guys' opinion on this. You know, if you subscribe to the newsletter, you can contact us through there. We'll talk about it on the show. If you guys have guest ideas, I really want to talk about that on the show, because I also think, like, you know, psychedelics, it's so clickbaity and buzzy that it's easy for people to make scare tactic videos. But I'm going to be like, if any of those people drink, then you're hypocrites. Or if you get drunk, then you're total hypocrites. You know, I've never gotten drunk and found God, you know? And I think that if you're going to do something that makes you kinder, that's a good thing. So I don't know. That's where I'm at with that. I have no thoughts on that. Besides what I just said, that's where I'm leaning. And again, my opportunity to do mushrooms has passed. So this is not me trying to excuse myself, but it's just, I want to be able to, when I, so The first thing I do now when I'm curious about something is I Google the Christian take on it. And I don't know if that's as healthy as I want it to be. Because then when I Googled psychedelic stuff that wasn't Christian, I saw doctors and scientists and Michael Pollan doing a Google talk and just really sweet people talking about like helping old people on their deathbeds and like really spiritual stuff. You know, my lit agent wrote a post about Anthony Bourdain saying that a lot of what Bourdain did was more Christian than a lot of Christians, him traveling around the world to different cultures and breaking bread with everybody. And it's like, are we allowed to think that anymore? Like, I don't know. Because part of me, like, I've only been listening to worship music. And that's not because I think that, like, the devil is lurking in like old Matchbox 20 songs, but maybe I want to push you around to sin. But I've just like, I really like worshiping. I really like Jesus, right? But there's also a lot of stuff that's like, you're a bad Christian if you listen to secular music, or you're a bad Christian if you Google psychedelics, or you're a bad Christian if, and I wish there were more places where you could just Google normal advice and you could just feel seen and feel like you're not crazy or you're not a bad Christian or you're not whatever. Because again, the thing, all the pastors I love are the ones that talk about being screw ups, because that's kind of the whole point. That's kind of the whole point, is that we are such screw ups that we need Jesus. The point isn't that, you know, well, if you have a popular YouTube channel, you're above it. And like, you know, you definitely would have like supported Jesus on the way to the cross. It's like, would you? You know, because it wasn't popular then. It's easy now, but it wasn't popular pre-resurrection. And I do wonder if all these guys who are just like shitting on everyone. But anyway, I would like to be able to look up mental health advice from a Christian perspective, or relationship advice from a Christian perspective, or psychedelic advice from a Christian perspective, or meditation or yoga. And again, I'm new, man. So I don't want to be the new kid who comes in super cocky and starts like criticizing the scene, because I've gotten nothing but love and support. And I've learned so much from, you know, the circle of people you've seen on this show, the kind of everyone who's sort of like tangentially related to Tim Ross. Like, I just love these other guests we're gonna have on the show, like Charles Metcalf and people like that. I'm just like really, really vibing on. But I think just like kind of generic YouTube searches in general, there's some fucking brutal stuff. Okay, all done, rant done. Barbie. Okay, I guess we can look. Here's what happened. Well, first of all, this is a weird, we've banked a lot of episodes. So the behind the scenes stuff, the show hasn't launched yet. So I could either be incredibly famous and what I just said is going to stir up controversy, maybe get me canceled. I don't know. Or I could be dead. We don't know, guys. We don't know. This show could end with like a little like an end roll, like a credits thing that's like Jamie Kilstein, like 1982 to 2023. Like, I could die at the Courtyard Marriott today. We don't know, right? And this would be a terrible, don't air this one if I die. Just rerun the Tim Ross one again. That was solid. And then do the, you know, maybe have him say a little thing. It's fine. He's in Australia. Not now. Anyway, the point is, the first however many episodes were me. There's a great chance I'm back with my girlfriend, by the way, by the time you hear this. There's a great chance we've moved too fast and I'm married. We don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is the first like fucking five episodes of this podcast, every question has been like, now that I'm going to get married and have children, Tim Ross, what do I do? And now I am like, Nope. My bad. And again, there's a good chance we're going to get back together. It's kind of up to me. I don't know. But I didn't want to hide it from you guys. Here's another thing. I don't know if I want to have kids anymore. And that's not because my relationship is crumbling. And that's not because there was a really shitty kid in front of me on the plane. There's something about being a new Christian that you like walk into church and you see a bunch of like hot Aryan 24-year-old couples with like three little Aryan babies. And you're like, I don't have any Aryan babies. And I'm 41 years old. Like, look at them. The Christmas cards are, I mean, woo. And so you see these families and you just go, okay, well, I'm nicer now. I'm more forgiving. I show grace. I'm more loving, but I got to get one of these and I can't just like take one of them. So I guess I have to have like a baby. And then suddenly it's like, are you a real Christian if you don't post pictures on Instagram of like your babies and your God's little miracle and you have a sad testimony? Like And to be honest, that could have fucked the relationship. It could have been, I was just so happy to find a girl where we put Jesus at the center of the relationship. That's what we kept saying. We're doing it the way the church tells. We're putting Jesus at the center. But it was more like we took Jesus hostage and like just like made him like stand in the middle of this really toxic relationship. And that's not necessarily putting Jesus at the center of the relationship. That's just like making Jesus watch a dysfunctional relationship when he probably has better things to do. And then saying, well, this is what God wants, so we can't break up. Like, this is what God wants, so like, why are we screwing this up? And so I fear that the pressure to have these perfect relationships and to have kids, if maybe you don't want to have kids, but you're like, I have to have, we're supposed to, you know, whatever. I've been thinking about that a lot recently. Like, do I want to have kids just because I'm Christian and I want to feel like I'm doing everything the kind of wholesome Pleasantville way? Like, am I saying that I don't know if I want to have kids now because I might be breaking up with this girl I thought I was going to have kids with? You know, it's really tough when we try to hold ourselves up to the standards of everyone that goes to my church or all the people that I follow on Instagram or, you know, all of my siblings have kids and these marriages that seem perfect. Like, and I was falling into that trap on this show. Every episode, suddenly I sounded like one of those people that I used to get jealous of, where you just go, oh, of course, this guy has a loving wife who pulled him out of his bad ways and beautiful children. And I was always just like, oh, and I was so jealous of those people. And then the second I had a chance to say the same thing, I was just like, oh, I have this beautiful soon-to-be wife who pulled me out of my bad ways, and soon I'll have a bunch of lovely Aryan children. They would have Kanaka blood. I'm Hawaiian. It's fine. And I was like, is that what happens, man? Do you just kind of get jealous of people until you get the thing, and then suddenly you just start saying the stuff that you used to get jealous of, and that makes you feel whole? And I think I was going through a lot of that where I was like, okay, I'm Christian and now I have a Christian job and I found a Christian girl and I'm going to have a bunch of Christian kids and nothing in my life will be bad ever again. And I'm saying this stuff just so you guys don't feel crazy. You don't feel crazy if you have a breakup or if you don't know if you want to have kids or if something really stupid happens. You miss a job interview and you get mad at God. Oh, by the way, my pastor had such a great line about getting mad at God where he was like, I've done that too. But you have to remember God loves us. God wants what's the best for us. A lot of times we tend to blame God for our human mistakes. And I was like, oh, that's good. Because he could have put me and my girl together and then we just did it all wrong. And like, is that God's fault or is that our fault? And the question is like, the answer is it's our fault. Was that a time? Wow. I have talked a lot. Okay. So here's what happened when I went to see Barbie by myself. So we ended this fight and we're breaking up and we had to, it was date day. We're breaking up on date day, everybody, a terrible day to break up. And we had tickets to see Barbie and, she was being mean and I just go, I'm going to leave the house I can't be part of this. So I was like, I'm going to go do my like healthy stuff. I'm going to go to the gym. I want to talk to my friends. And then I was like, I still got tickets for Barbie, dog. And again, it's fun. This is one of the things I don't like about being sober. There's something about, and I don't like being drunk. I don't like being high, but there is something just more acceptable and more fun. I'm going to get high and go see Barbie. Yes. Heard. Makes so much sense. I'm going to go earnestly see Barbie by myself. Not fun. That's not a cool thing to say. And so I was like, I kind of want to see it. I mean, the movie looked really funny and subversive and it was, but you know, the theater is just filled with women in pink dresses and the little waiters are all dressed up as like Ken dolls. It was a lot. It was a lot. And by the way, it's like opening weekend. So like every showing is sold out. I got the last ticket. I got the last ticket in the theater. And so I love seeing movies by myself. That was something that I discovered after a breakup, actually. Because I loved going on movies as a date. And I always thought like it was such a loser thing to go to the movies by yourself. And holy Lord, it is my favorite thing to do, single or in a relationship. It is so freeing, especially when it's like a dorky movie that you're afraid like a girlfriend would judge. Like if a new Taken movie comes out, every guy listening, go by yourself. Because you can just enjoy the badness of it without like feeling the resentment of your partner. So I go and I have one, the one seat that was left because I canceled our tickets earlier. And then I was like, screw it. I'm gonna go to a later showing. So I bought the last ticket. It was in the front row. The way this theater works is it's divided into like your little date tables. So everything is like, every seat is like pretty much like a two-seater meant for a date with a little table. So you're sharing a table with ideally your date. I show up, and you know, in your head, you're going to be like, maybe my real soulmate will be here. I show up, guys, I swear to God, it was a movie theater filled with women. It was another tattooed guy who looked like me in the seat next to me, but like an angrier version of me. Like he had a baseball hat, tattoos, arms folded, a beer. Previews haven't even started. He has a beer and I just like sit next to him. We're like this close. And I go, I have to acknowledge this. I can't just be at opening night of the Barbie movie, sit next to the only other single guy who looks like me and just act like it's not happening. I would be an insane person. So I look at him and I just go, hey, what's up, brother? Guys, straight at nothing. He is not good. He, like a guarded Buckingham Palace. He This motherfucker, he is holding the line. He is not acknowledging the life decisions that brought him to this point. He is not going to admit the mistakes he made to get him to the fucking Alamo in Austin, Texas, in the front row of the Barbie movie by himself, that somehow life has brought him a, like a counterpart in me who looks even more screwed up. To I have my fanny pack that has a gun in it. I look even more fucked up than this guy, and I just try to be friends, and he's like, dog, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to watch Barbie and pretend this isn't happening and then probably blow my brains out. Like, that's what he wants to do. And I'm there. I was like, I pretended like I forgot something. What? You don't forget something. Where did I leave it? In the hallway of the movie theater? I just literally sat down. I said, hey, brother. Oh. And then I like got up. Immediately go to the front desk and I was like, hey, weird situation. I had a breakup. And this guy's like, well, why are you doing this to me? I'm 17 years old. And I was like, are there any other seats? There's a man. He looks like me. No time to explain. Are there any other seats? There was one other seat and I had to switch seats. I could not have, I don't know if I would be here today if I watched that movie sitting next to this man, but I watched it sitting next to a very happy row of college girls to my right, an older couple my age to my left. We all enjoyed it. It was a very fun movie. I had to go the long way to the seat because I'm like, this guy can't see me because that's going to be the last straw. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's holding on by a thread. And if he sees that, like, I didn't even want to sit next to him, I was like, nope, I'm going to row three. It would be over for him. So I did it and I saw Barbie by myself. And I guess my message is this. I just wrote question God breakup. Oh, I had so much more I was going to talk about. Oh yeah. That was another thing. My friend Jen Fulweiler, who was on the show, I was like, dude, I don't want to do anything anymore. I don't want to do comedy. I don't want to travel. And she's like, I go, do you think this is God telling me that I should like not perform anymore, that I should perform? And she just goes, maybe it's not about you, Jamie. Maybe you're supposed to go to this town to, you know, talk the guy at the hotel out of suicide, like the guy who checks you in. And I was just like, that's a really sweet thing to say. I was so bitter. I was like, what, is this? See how miserable I am and be like, oh, at least I don't have it that bad. At least I didn't go see Barbie by myself. But I think that I'll end with this. You never know who you are going to help. And you never know if the bullshit you're going through right now, if you get out of it, if it's going to inspire someone else or if it's going to help someone else not feel alone. But the trick is you actually have to survive it. Like, you have to get through it and you have to show people that they're going to be okay. And so I don't know, man, maybe you guys hated this episode. Maybe it made no sense. I really hope it did. It's just what I'm going through right now. And we all go through it, and it's okay to admit that you're going through it. And it's okay to talk about this stuff, and it's okay to have really stupid thoughts, and it's okay to be a Christian and get mad at God. And it's okay to, you know, in your head be like, why can't people bring their dogs on a plane? But I have to deal with this crying baby instead of pet a dog, which would be much better. But then also like wave to the baby on your way out, you know? We think a lot of shitty things, but that doesn't mean we have to be shitty people. And it also doesn't mean we're broken because we think those shitty things. So that's my message to you, is like, just because you're in it or just because you're thinking shitty things, you can still be a good person and you can still know that you're not the only person who's been through this or that's had a breakup or anything like that, and just try to be loving. So there wasn't a lot of God advice today because I would be lying to you. I would be lying to you. But I hope you guys could see this as kind of a more human episode. I hope you guys felt more human listening to this episode. If you like this show, if you like what we're trying to do, if you can relate to it, if you know people who would relate to it, please send them clips, send them links. You can rate and review the show on iTunes. You can like and subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Instagram at the Jamie Kilstein. We got a bunch of banger guests coming up, so get excited. The show is like nowhere near where it's going to be. And yeah, we couldn't do it without you guys. So we'll see you next week in the back row. Peace. Hello, it's me, Jamie. Please don't fast forward. This is not a commercial about shaving your balls or BetterHelp, although I'm sure they're great. And if you mess up shaving your balls, maybe you need BetterHelp. I don't know. They don't give us money. Who does support us is you. And if you want to stay in touch with us, if you want to read my thoughts on mental health, on this journey I'm on, I won't use the word journey. If you want to be first to find out about tour dates, all of that good stuff, the best way to stay in touch with us, the best way to support us, the best way to join the community is to sign up for the newsletter. We really appreciate you guys. We want to give back to you like you give to us. And so the way we will be doing that is through this newsletter. So if you want to subscribe, you can find the link in the bio or underneath the video or in the podcast description. Wherever you are listening or watching, exists a link for the newsletter. Thank you again. We'll see you in the back row.